Welcome to the Quebec Music Magazine. I'm Rockin' Rich Lynch, inviting you to join me for our weekly exploration of new music by bands and artists from around the world, with interviews, music news and reviews, great prizes, and a whole lot more. Brought to you by Quebec.com, the galaxy's guide to music on the web.
Feel Squire, you're listening to Rockin' Rich at Quebec Music Magazine.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Quebec Music Magazine. I am your host, Rockin' Rich Lynch. And we kicked off today's program with a couple revolutionary tracks. We heard Revolution Man from the great King Karma and a track called Revolution from Poker Face. And we're talking about revolution because the indie music revolution continues here on the Quebec Music Magazine. Case in point, we will be talking to legendary rock star Billy Squire a little later in the program. We have a 20-minute interview with the man about his music, the 80s, being on the road most recently with Ringo Starr, and a whole bunch of other stuff to talk to him about. Do me a favor, go on over to the Quebec Music Magazine site, quevac.com, that's Q-U-E-E-V-A-K.com. We recently did a little redesign on there with our navigation, and you can move around the site a lot more easily. And we'd like you to check out the articles and go deep. Check out the CD reviews. Go on over there and tell a few people about it. That's the best way that we're going to be able to keep growing and going as we move forward into the future here. Also, you're listening to the Kuivak Music Magazine podcast. Do us a favor, subscribe to this podcast. Tell a few people about the podcast. We added lots and lots of subscribers in the last month's series of programs, so we're very encouraged about the future. Now we're going to play some music right now. Some recent artists who sent their music to the site, and I'll tell you a little bit more about how you can get played in upcoming editions of the Kuivak Music Magazine. We're going to kick it off with Kevin Lee, All I Want.
Yours and you were mine.
Okay, back with you here, Rockin' Rich Lynch. This is the Kuivac.com Kuivac Music Magazine radio show and podcast. We do new programs every month, so every program that we do is available all month long on the website. So tell your friends, keep listening. We appreciate all you listeners. And we're going to keep trying to bring you these amazing rock star interviews. Now, what you can do to get your music played on this show and featured on the Kuivac site is just hit the Join Us, Send Us Music button over there on the Kuivac main page. We try to pick the best of all the stuff that comes into us to air on this program, and we do have a worldwide audience, so you will get your music exposed all around the world. Now, interestingly enough, on the site this month, we have the 7th Annual Editor's Choice Kuivac.com Music CD of the Year Awards. Just recently announced, all those winners are on the site. Go on over there, check out the CD of the Year Awards link. And that's another thing that you can be involved with as far as getting your music played and promoted on through the Quivac site. Everybody who sends us their music does get considered for nomination into our annual CD of the Year Awards. It's something we've been doing for 7 years. It's a lot of fun. Right before the break, we did hear somebody new to the site, a guy named Darren Dow, and we heard the song called Door to Your Heart. Really good stuff. And right now, we got a little musical set of a few other bands that have recently sent their stuff to Quivac.com. We're going to hear the band Distance to Empty with their track called The Chase. We're going to hear Jed with Mad Mardigan and Overwhelmed with Saline Breed. Check this out. This is kind of in the realms of the alternative stuff. And then we'll be back in a few minutes.
Oh, it's going. Okay, it's going. We'll be right back.
A great set of music right there. And do us a favor, go on back over to the Quivac site, check out the things there. A lot of stuff for you to do. Read some CD reviews, send us your music, subscribe to the podcast. Most recently through the Quivac site, we have covered the 91-year-old Les Paul and his show at the Iridium Jazz Club in New York City. We have a review online for that. We got to see the great guitar master Eric Johnson in Teaneck, New Jersey at the Mexicali Blues Club. And we checked out the Jefferson Airplanes Galactic Family Reunion, the 40th anniversary of the San Francisco Sound at B.B. King's in New York City. And all those articles are online for you to check out and read. We hope to cover a lot more stuff as the year closes out. A lot of things potentially going down in September, which you'll hear about next time around. Check out the CD of the Year Awards. do us a favor, spread the word about Kuivac.com and this podcast. Tell all your friends. We're going to have an interview with the amazing Billy Squire right now. 20 minutes we talked to the guy, but before we get to him, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor. And that's another thing you can do. If you want to sponsor this show, you can join the Kuivac crew. That's our fan club for $10 a year. We'll have your link on our popular Kuivac crew fan club page. Or you can get a spot, a 30-second radio spot on this program. All month long, your ad will be featured. And it's a great way for you to get your word out about your company, your business, your music project, while at the same time promoting everything we're doing here at Kuivac.com. I thank you. I'm Rockin' Rich Lynch. Please, again, spread the word. Enjoy the Billy Squire interview and check out the other shows we have for the month. A lot of great stuff going on.
Nobody plays the blues like Mark Kerr. Get his new CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, now at www.markkerrltd.com. That's www.markkerrltd.com. He's considered one of the hottest modern blues guitarists of today. Mark was recently nominated Musician of the Year by the Academy of Texas Music. Now you can enjoy this remarkable Louisiana musician on his new CD, One Drink Away from the Blues, at www.markkerrltd.com. That's www.markkerrltd.com. There's a
storm blowing in. Okay, and we are back, everybody, and I'm not BSing you this time. Let me tell you, we have Billy Squire, the rock legend, with us today. Very honored to have you, Billy. How's it been going?
I couldn't be happier, really. I just got off the road with Ringo, which has been one of the great experiences in my life. It's the first band I played in where I wasn't the boss of the band.
So that's a good experience, right?
Well, it turned out to be great. I didn't really know going into it. You know, my career has always been one in which I had so much control over it and, you know, and cared so much about it that I had some reservations going into this thing with Ringo. I didn't know what it would be like. The first time I had an idea that he maybe didn't like and maybe he shot down, you know, I thought to myself, you know, no is not really a word in my vocabulary in these situations. But none of those situations ever materialized. He was just an incredible guy in so many ways, and we had a fantastic band, and there was obviously no pressure on me, so it worked out great. It was really fun.
All right, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about the Ringo tour, but you know, I started off with the BS comment because in New York radio, Billy, you were always a shoo-in to be played whenever New York would give you a little few minutes of BS. It would be you, Bob Seger, Bruce Springsteen, and you know the Lido Shuffle from Boz Skaggs.
That's right.
You know, so you probably got a lot of residuals that way.
Now, we take what we can get. We're happy for it.
Yeah, but I always, you know, always enjoyed it. You were a big staple on New York rock radio back then, and we want to talk specifically at the moment about the '80s hit strip CD that you're part of, part of Sidewinder Records. 15 artists doing acoustic stripped and stripped down renditions of their songs. Track 15 is "The Stroke from You." Has that record been doing for all you guys?
I honestly have no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy that they wanted to include me in that, and that's really all I know. I don't really follow the business too much anymore. Most of my music, if not all my musical involvement right now, is in projects which I just enjoy doing. So I hope the record's doing well. I've heard a lot about it, certainly. I know that it's gotten a lot of attention in the media and at radio. So hopefully that will translate into some success for the company and for all of us.
Yeah, and
I was just I was happy to be a part of it. And as I said, really, they just contacted me, said we'd like to use it. I said, sure.
Well, cool. I wanted to thank you, too, because I know this isn't something you normally do. This is pretty much a rarity for Billy Squire to, you know, lately for doing some press and things like that. And I just wanted to thank you for supporting the Kuivac site because, you know, our people will be very interested in hearing you. I know that.
I'm glad that there are people who would like to hear about, you know, what I'm doing.
So back to the Ringo tour. I was just on the Ringo Starr site, the 9th edition of the Ringo All-Star Band. I was able to catch on tour the first edition way back in the 90s, but I got to see a video clip. You looked very that was an incredibly talented Learjet that was flying in the air there going to Las Vegas.
Yes, it was. Yeah. There was a lot of talent crammed into a small space, that's for sure.
I mean, we could have had a disaster on that tour, you know, like the Buddy Holly thing.
Yeah, don't say that.
Well, sorry, you're probably not too. How do you like flying? Is that something you can deal with?
Oh, I'm spoiled rotten by flying, especially when you have your own plane, because then, you know, you're not going through airport security. If I were doing a tour on a commercial jet airliner, I think it would be a nightmare because you know, you'd be at the airport half the day. But when you have your own plane, you really just show up and get on and go. So that's as easy as it gets.
Well, we are talking to Billy Squier. BillySquier.com is the website. Billy just got off a tour with Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. A lot of cool things going on there. I read some reviews too, Billy, and basically everybody, they were all glowing and, you know, talking about how you really stepped into the role of the lead guitar player in the band. Plus, you got to feature two or three of your songs every night. Did you really enjoyed it? Huh? I mean, that probably had to be some of the biggest crowds you played to in a long time.
Well, some of the crowds were big. We played a variety of venues. Ringo likes to do small places too, so we played some really cool sort of classical smaller theaters, and then some of the big sheds and different venues that in between size wise. But you touched on something that was one of the prime motivations for me doing the tour, aside from playing with Ringo, was that I've never gotten credit in my career as a lead guitar player, and I started out as a guitar player, and guitar is one of my top priorities as a player and one of my singular passions as a person. So when Ringo asked me to do this, I said, "Who's in the band? Who's blah blah blah?" He said, "I want you to be the guitar player," and I thought, well, This is the kind of opportunity I'm looking for, because I won't have to be cheerleading and running around the stage and working the audience. I can stand there and just play, and people will have to take note of me to the degree that they want to see Billy Squier. They'll have to recognize me as a guitar player, and that's really what happened. And it was incredibly rewarding for me, because I've seen a lot of the reviews too, and we both know what they said. And it made me feel like, good, my time has just finally come, that I can be recognized for having this as a part of my arsenal and something that I'm very proud of.
Right. I guess you have some decisions to make a little bit. But before we talk about that, was there any one moment that stands out from the run you had with the All-Star Band?
Well, probably the most singular moment occurred, would actually be a collection of moments of the same moment, which occurred usually two or three times a night, when I would just be standing there on the stage, we're playing along, and we're doing our thing, and I would just look over. Ringo, we played right next to each other when he was down front singing, he'd be right next to me, and I would find myself playing, and I'd look up, and I'd see this guy 10 feet away from me singing. And it would just instantaneously click in my head, this is a Beatle. I'm playing with a Beatle. And it wasn't like a, oh my God, feeling. It was more like this just incredible, it was a very, very comfortable, special, warm, unique feeling to be in the company of this person who's been responsible for so much of the music that, has affected not only my generation, but the generations succeeding that. And to be a part of that, I would surprise myself every night a few times just by having that feeling kind of wash over me, like, wow, I'm playing with this guy.
Right. I know. I mean, it's great that they're still doing it. It's very sad going back to 1980 when we lost you know, John, and even George, the way he kind of left us was kind of, it wasn't good. I mean, just when he was attacked, and then it's really sad, but it's great to still have I think Ringo's going to be the last one standing, probably.
Well, I'll be right there with him if he wants me. I'll tell you that.
I hope so. Now, I guess I brought this up a few minutes ago. We know that you walked away from the music industry a bit, and then you've been, making forays back into it over the course of time. With the spotlight on you, you're on the cover of Vintage Guitar magazine for August 2006 right now, just coming off of this tour with Reviews. I guess you have a decision to make. Are you going to get back into it, or are you just going to let things ride a little bit and see, what happens?
I generally tend to follow the second option there, because I've reached a point where I don't really feel like I want to chase people around and try to get them interested in what I do. I'm a lot more comfortable in reacting, responding to opportunities than trying to create them. So I think that there is a lot of interest, sort of rekindled interest in me and what I might be doing and what I might consider doing at this point. And I'm here to listen to what people have in mind. I definitely would like to play more. I'd like to find situations where I could go out and play and have just really have a good time, like I just did with Ringo and the All Stars. And I'm open to suggestions, but I won't push it.
Hey Billy, I had my copies of Don't Say No and Emotions in Motion on the LP turntable today. Those are the two records I really bothered my parents with back in 82 and 83 and.
Yeah.
That was stuff I was playing loud all the time, and I was revisiting those moments a bit today. Don't Say No was a record that was pretty much propelled by MTV a little bit. I mean, that really put you into the spotlight after you'd been working as a touring act for 10 years. Another one of those stories where an overnight success after putting in a lot of hard work. But the medium of MTV did propel you. But you also learn the double-edged sword nature of that medium with the Rock Me Tonight video. Is there anything from that whole experience collectively that you could, any lessons learned from that whole experience with MTV that you could impart to people?
Well, I don't really think, with all due respect, I don't think that MTV had that much to do with my success. I think they had a lot to do with knocking me off the pedestal. But you have to remember, Don't Say No was a huge, huge record at radio. And MTV didn't even come on the air until Don't Say No had been out for 4 months. Don't Say No was already top five when MTV came out. So I don't think they had much to do with that. I think that the nature of MTV has proven to be very derisive for music in general, because they weren't really focused on music. They took the focus off of music and they put it on the visual aspects, which are really quite different. And there's nothing wrong with seeing, one of your musical artists perform a song, but there is something wrong when you take the emphasis or the focus off the music and put it on a storyboard, put the artist into a story. So I feel in that sense that MTV really, in many ways, was the death knell for music. You hear these days a lot of people bemoaning what has happened to the music industry. There are very few great artists anymore, and the music doesn't seem to have any legs. And that's where it started. It really, if I had to pick a time when this trend began, it was when music entered this new commercial phase, which did not emphasize the artist and did not emphasize the music. So I don't know if there's a lesson there, but there is a look at history that I think, may shed some light on a situation for people who are trying to deal with the music business today.
Well, in the early days, I mean, like you as a musician and an artist, I mean, and a lot of musicians and artists maintain a lot of control over the songwriting aspect, the recording aspect, the final package on the records, but everybody early on was willing to, relinquish control to videos to other people, and it just, that's kind of, that almost seems like it doesn't jive with the whole, with a management of your You know, you left like a not just you, but everybody back then, you know, left like a whole big piece of that to other people to do some interpretation. And just I guess in your case, like, you know, I guess you know, because the Don't Say No videos were pretty good. I mean, it's you and a full band, and you know, everybody.
They were just straight ahead. They were just performance pieces. You know, we just walked on the stage, you know, on a sound stage and played.
Oh, and they showed you in a great light too, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what we were just doing, what we did.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was you know, a performance video doesn't generally, you know, a straight performance video is not going to affect you negatively unless you're not a good performer, you know, but otherwise they're just capturing the essence of what you do. There's no real storyline. The music is still a story. You're a guitar player or a singer and you're doing your song. So there's, you know, there's no, no real room for misinterpreting that. It's a pretty straightforward interpretation.
Hey, Billy, I know that, I know that definitely you were broken by radio across the nation for the Don't Say No record. I think the problem was that I was a person who was addicted to MTV, and I was watching. You know, I'd come home from high school and I'd, you know, see you probably two times an hour. So, you know, it's just got very much ingrained that way. So.
They supported me. I'm not saying that. I mean, MTV was very supportive of me and they played me a lot. But I wouldn't look at MTV as being the pivotal link in making Don't Say No a success, because Don't Say No was already a success. That's all I was saying.
Yeah,
but they were very supportive. They played my videos all the time. Now, don't get me wrong about that. I think that just going back a little bit, but when you're talking about giving up control in the videos, you have to remember that to most of us, video wasn't something that we grew up with. We're musicians, so. You know, you almost have to give up a certain amount, if not virtually all control, to the video directors, because, in theory at least, they were supposed to know what they were doing.
Well, you know...
And so we trust, you know, we would trust them to a great extent, and sometimes it worked. I mean, there were some very good video directors who... I mean, I think there are definitely bands who would not have been successful without MTV. That's a different story. You know, there are a lot of bands who you can really categorize as video bands. You
okay.
Know, take away their videos, you never hear of them. Those guys had, you know, good visual ideas, and they had good visual directors supporting them. And you know, in that sense, those people would clearly be the beneficiaries of MTV.
Well,
but for some of the musicians, it was a little bit of a different scenario.
Well, you definitely bring up a good point, because you had the MTV, you had the rock radio airplay in the early 80s that, you know, definitely was responsible for a lot of that. But, you know, how about today? Where do people go today?
That's a good question. If you find out, let me know, because it seems like you don't go anywhere now. There's been so little nurturing of artists over the years. Everything has become so focused on what sells today, and how do we capture the trend today to, you know, to line our pockets, that we don't really, I don't see a lot of, how should I say, you know, meaningful music or music that might stand the test of time. It's very difficult. Radio has become totally fragmented. You know, it used to be, when I grew up, that you could turn on FM radio and you could hear just about anything on one station, and it was very eclectic, but very interesting and very inspiring. And now you have exactly the opposite, where everything you listen to is extremely attenuated. You know, you're on a country station, you're on a pop station, you're on a light jazz station. There's no flow to the music anymore. Everything is very, very programmed and very controlled. And I think that. I think listeners are paying for it, because, as I said, and especially young musicians, because you just don't have much to listen to.
Right. To me, it's always been a bit of an embarrassment being in the New York market, and we have like two rock stations. I go and visit my brother up in Rochester, and they got seven rock stations that'll play AOR stuff, they'll play new stuff. Like, New York just doesn't do anything to break artists as far as radio is concerned anymore.
Yeah. Well, people aren't concerned with breaking. So they don't care about breaking artists anymore. They want to try to find something that's already broken and then make as much off it as they can. Seems to be the way to go, and it's not a healthy trend.
All right,
just you have to invest in the arts if you want to reap something from them.
Just a couple more. We are talking to Billy Squire, BillySquire.com, rock legend, just off a tour with Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. He's got The Stroke track 15 on Sidewinder Records' 80s hit Stripped. A bunch of artists playing acoustic and stripped-down versions of their hit songs from the 1980s. Billy, your band Piper's debut was hailed by Circus Magazine as one of the greatest albums ever produced by an American rock band. I don't know, honestly, if all your members are still together or on this earth, but is there ever a chance you could put that band together again?
Well, there is a chance, and without giving away too much, this is actually something that I've been toying with since I got off the Ringo tour. I'm trying to find a way to perhaps put that band together in a way that that could make some sense, because I think there are a lot of people who did get a glimpse of that band, that part of my career, who might like to see that again. And it might be something interesting for me to look at again in that context.
Well, Tom Petty just said in Rolling Stone magazine he wants to shut down the Heartbreakers and go back to his pre-fame band, Mudcrutch. And there's only a handful of artists that can, really, crawl back to, where they came from to, maybe give some old friends a chance or a shot at the spotlight or just whatever to get out there and, relive some memories from the past. So if Billy Squire's Piper's out there on the road, I will be there.
Well, I think maybe we'll see what we can do to help you out there. I mean, Tom and I, maybe we could do something together.
Can you talk a little bit about Piper's experience opening for Kiss's 1977 Madison Square Garden shows?
Well, the thing that I was always told about those shows is that we were louder than them, which I took as a great compliment, because it's hard to imagine anyone being louder than Kiss. There was a great time, they were pretty much at the top of their game, and Gene came to me and said that he wanted my band to open for him, and that was it's quite a compliment. Although Gene told me right away that it wasn't meant to be a compliment, that he was hiring us because he thought that we could make money for them. But nonetheless, it was a great experience. It was something, definitely one for the memory books. So.
Hey, a zebra can't change his stripes.
Yeah.
That's like something Gene would say. Well, look, man, Billy Squire, look, correct me if I'm wrong, but your last album was 1998's Happy Blue?
That's right.
Anything in the works that have you been songwriting since the years, and is there any chance we could see a record from you soon?
I don't know if you'll see anything soon, because I don't pay too much attention, but I'm putting things together again at my own pace, and I think there will be another Billy Squire record at some point, but I can't tell you when, and I can't tell you what will be on it.
Yeah, Billy, look, as I say to all you guys that I've been talking to, I mean, it's an incredible time right now, because you have a history of commercial success. You've been out there. You have a lot of fans. And there are so many tools and ways for you now at this time in our, where we're at, to take advantage of. So I think, whatever you decide to do, you're going to be successful in. And, I'm very happy to hear that you had such a great experience on the road. Because, we're thinking about you constantly, man. So thank you very much for talking to Kuivak Music Magazine today.
And well, thank you. I appreciate the support. Hope to see you out there.
All right, Billy. BillySquire.com, everybody. Thanks a lot, Billy. Keep rocking, all right?
Okay, cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Kuivak Music Magazine. Please remember to tune in again next week on this station for new music by bands and artists from around the world, with interviews, music news and reviews, great prizes, and a whole lot more. Brought to you by Kuivak.com, the galaxy's guide to music on the web.